reason for being water baptized, it's important that we carefully consider what the Bible says about it. Well, Jesus himself was baptized, and he wasn't even a sinner. Yet he humbled himself in obedience to identify with us and to give us an example to follow. When it comes to water baptism, there can often be a couple of mistakes in thinking. One of them is, well, water baptism isn't such a big deal because your salvation doesn't depend on it. I can be saved without being baptized. But water baptism is an act of faith and obedience to the commands of Jesus. And so we shouldn't be disobedient to what he's saying we should do. And then there are those that go to the other extreme and say, unless you're baptized, you're not saved. Well, we know that's wrong. We know they're both wrong. And unfortunately, there are some other opinions out there or religious ideas out there which don't line up with what the Bible actually says. That's always what we need to do, isn't it? To see what the Word of God says. We're learning that at Bible study. But the first thing that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, the first thing he did was that he was baptized in water. He was about 30, some people say 30, some say 33, so he was about that age, clearly an adult though. But it was the first thing that he did in his earthly ministry, and he wanted to model water baptism for you and for me. And so it was an example for us to follow. In Matthew 3:16, which we'll see up there, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It was the will of the Father, and Jesus was following what the Father wanted him to do. So then we go to the last thing that Jesus did before he died and rose from the dead. When he's just about to ascend into heaven to intercede for you and me at the right hand of the Father, these were his words in Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit." So we are baptized into the family of God, not into Southern Life Church. We're baptized into the family of God, the kingdom of God. Because it tells us in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, by one spirit we were baptized into one body. So there might be denominations and different churches, but we're baptized into the kingdom of God. And so we're family together. So that was the last thing that Jesus gave, was instructions for us to be baptized by being immersed in water. The word baptize comes from a Greek word which means to immerse, dip under the water. There's all sorts of people with different thoughts on that, but this is what the Word of God is saying. And so we should not minimize what Jesus emphasized to be immersed, just like Sandra's word this morning about being immersed. So in Mark 1, 9 and 10, it says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove." Now, as we read this, we read that he came up from the water. So that must have meant he was completely under and down in the water. And also, he travelled 60 miles, around about 100 kilometres, from Nazareth to Jordan. That's a long walk. So it probably wasn't convenient for Jesus to do that, travelling all that way. But he did it for a reason, because he knew it was the will of the Father for him to be baptised in the Jordan River by John. Maybe it wasn't convenient for you at the time to be baptised. And I think that's why some people shy away. It's not convenient, or they feel a bit awkward. Again, we need to be following the example that Jesus set before us. He travelled 60 miles to be baptised. It'll probably never be convenient for some people. Maybe God wants to test our obedience. In the book of 2 Kings, we read about a man whose name was Naaman. He was a commander in the Syrian army. And though he was a mighty warrior, he suffered with leprosy. And God sent him a message through the prophet Elisha. And he said, Naaman, go and wash yourself in the river seven times. Seven times for you to be healed of leprosy. And he probably thought, well, isn't there an easier way? Can't I just do it once? But God said, you do it my way and you'll get my results. And when he came up after the seventh time, he had skin like a baby's skin. And all the leprosy was gone. But the point is, God sometimes doesn't make it convenient to kill our pride. Pride will stop us from being obedient. From being obedient. But I urge you to let go of any pride that would stop you to do the will of God in your life. Every baptism that we read about in the Bible was immersion underwater. The book of Acts shows us that this was the normal back then for every believer. In Acts 8:38 and 39, we read, then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. So we know they went in and under the water, and it says when they came up out of the water, da-da-da. So it's completely biblical here that Jesus is talking about being immersed fully in water. All the early Christians were baptized. Even in the earliest cathedrals, they go back to the 13th and 14th century, they've found baptismals built into the floors, walls, whatever, because they followed the model that Jesus showed them. But this is the best part. In Romans chapter 6, it gives us a bit of a biography. It shows us our past, our present, and our future. So let me explain this. In Romans 6:3, it says, oh, do you not know as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? That's an interesting scripture, isn't it? What does that mean? But we are baptized into Jesus Christ and also into his death. So when you go down into the water, you're baptized into his death, which literally means it's like a watery tomb in God's eyes, and the old you is being buried under the water. It's like having a funeral in the pool, but nobody will be crying except the devil. Verse 4 of Romans 6 says, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's your present. So you go down and your past, your shame, your guilt, the power that the enemy's had over you, the defeat that you've suffered, you go down and you come up in newness of life. And then Jesus sort of ends this story in the next verse by showing you what your future is. He said, for if we have been united together, this is verse 5, in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We have a future in heaven with him. That's our future. We have a future still. We're walking it out, but our future is with him in heaven. You know, in Paul's day, immersion was the usual form of baptism. And, you know, the new Christians, they were completely buried in the water. They understood that baptism was a symbolization for the death and the burial of the old way of life. Coming up out of the water symbolizes resurrection and new life. And what that's saying, that it's not only taken care of your past, we come into a newness of life for our future. Baptism declares that you're a follower of Christ. It's a public confession of your faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. It's the next step after salvation. And of course, you know, we have people come and sometimes we don't even know. I mean, I think we sat in a church for a long time before we knew that someone mentioned water baptism, and we didn't know we were supposed to be water baptized because we were christened as children, and some of you probably were too. That's actually not in the Bible. It's been done in the churches, but we're following what the Word of God says here, And that's what we're going to do. So the next step after salvation through repentance and faith is supposed to be baptism. But it's never too late with God. And, you know, for whatever reason, we haven't done that. But I've just been prompted and, you know, working with God to do all the things in the Bible that he's asking us to do, because he's got big work for us here, and you all know that. So it's certainly not the same as being christened as a child, okay? We believe that we dedicate our children, beautiful babies, we dedicate them to God and to the family of God, and we should be praying for our children that we dedicate, because they're part of our family. And when they're old enough, they make their own decision then to follow Jesus, then they would have be saved, and then we would be water baptized. Now, just like this wedding ring, my wedding ring, it says I belong to Graham. This ring doesn't make me married, but 41 years ago last week, we had a ceremony with family and with friends, and we made a commitment before God. That's what made us married. So it doesn't make me married, but it showed publicly that we are married, because we made a public declaration. And that's exactly what baptism is. It doesn't make you saved, but it identifies the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ, because he's your saviour. And it shows that you are committed to him for living. Baptism also connects us to the body of Christ, and we've sung about that this morning, about being a child of God. And the words, I quickly wrote them down, we've been born again into a family. I am a child of God. I love that. We become a family. So I guess maybe if you're hearing this message even for the first time and you haven't been baptized, there's an invitation that stands for you. It doesn't matter how old you are or how long you've been a Christian. If you've never been water baptized, this is a significant step, and I encourage you to accept the invitation. So next Sunday, come prepared. You can always just jump in your clothes anyway. Pool's warm. Yeah, I wouldn't get in a cold pool. So before we actually get baptized, there's a step before that. We need to make sure that we've first accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We would call that being born again. That's what we would call it. And I know most of you are, but I know some are hearing this message for the first time. That just means accepting Jesus as your Lord and Saviour in order to be saved from hell and to be given eternal life with God in heaven. And the Bible is quite clear, again, that we must be born again to go to heaven. The scriptures tell us that. Let's have a look at John 3:3. This Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders, was having this discussion with Jesus, and Jesus said to him, he answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, shocked, he was a religious leader, he was full of pride, he was wanting to do it, but, "Oh no, my leaders here will think I'm bonkers, I'm not doing that." But he said to Jesus, "Well, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now that water there isn't talking about baptism. Okay, but we need to be born, our spirits need to be born again. And you know what? It's the most simple thing. Receiving Christ is really simple. You just have to surrender and say, "Yes, I want a better life. I want Jesus in my life." Just as I said, putting on my ring doesn't make me married. Just as sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is a person who follows Christ, but there is that one thing that we have to do. We have to receive him. We have to receive him as our personal saviour. It's a gift he's given us. And Chrissy explained that he's taken all our sin, all our shame, all our guilt, all our fear, and he has nailed it to the cross So at the moment that we do that and we surrender and accept Jesus, we are born again. It's like having a personal coach with you all the time, because the Holy Spirit then comes and lives in you. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." Notice here it says he's knocking, but we have to open the door. He doesn't barge his way in. He waits till we open the door. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you openly declare, again, it's that pride thing that stops us doing things. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. This morning, as we will read in our Bible app, the scripture of the day, it was Joel 2:12, which says, "Return to me with all your heart. Return to me." And some people, they've already made that commitment. They're already born again. And sometimes we just get lazy or you know, things come in. But we're already born again. We can just say, "God, forgive me of all that. Today's a new day and I'm starting again." But firstly, we have to be born again. And I wonder, all the news about, you know, Shane Warne passing this week at 52 years old, and they're putting him up here, and look, he was great in the cricket world. We know that. I love cricket. I watched him. He was amazing. But, you know, I wonder if he now will be wondering. You know, God does make himself open to us accepting him. He gives us opportunities, but none of us know what is going to happen tomorrow. He was 52 years old and apparently had a heart attack. And this morning they said he'd had chest pains in Australia. He'd been to a doctor and I don't know the rest, but he died of a heart attack. We don't know our tomorrows. So when I read that this morning about from Joel, "Return to me with all your heart," we need to make sure our lives are right every day, every day. As I finish up, like I said, there's two things here. If you've already a Christian and you've never been baptized, I would be privileged to add you to the list, to our family, to just get that done, because it's a command of Jesus. And so there is opportunity to come next week and be baptized. Just let me know today or through the week if that's you. And just so I know what's going to happen next week. And the other thing is, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never been what we call born again and saved, today is a great opportunity, because Jesus is knocking on some doors today. But it's up to you to open up your door, to let him in. And it doesn't mean that everything goes perfect. We can all vouch for that. I would never tell you that. The Bible tells us that things are going to, in John, he says, things in this world are going to happen. Trouble is going to come. But I will be there with you through it, because I've already overcome. So it's not a promise to a perfect, trouble-free life. But I tell you, from everything I've been through, and you would be standing here saying the same thing, I could not have done my walk without Jesus in my life. And it doesn't make us... it doesn't make us weird, or, you know, we have this perception of, ooh. But no, it makes us a family. It makes us, we have brothers and sisters that we've never had before, that we would have never been joined together. It's a wonderful walk, and I just want to encourage you to jump on this walk. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, if everyone could bow their head now, we're going to pray a prayer together. Everyone's going to say it, everyone, so that you don't feel alone. And then when I've finished the prayer, we're going to have some worship music again. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, just come up the front. There's something about walking up the front because God says, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you. Just come up and tell me and we can just pray for you and encourage you on this journey. So let's pray. Everyone, eyes closed. So say this after me. Father God, I thank you that Jesus died for me and paid for all my sin on the cross. I've lived a sinful life and I am sorry for my sin. Please forgive me because I want to turn my life around. But I need your help to do this. Come and live in my life. Live in me, Lord. I surrender myself to you and I give all of me over and I receive you now as my Lord and as my Saviour. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I believe now that I am on my way to heaven and I am going to enjoy my journey with you. Amen. 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 I was in a church for a lot of years and I never heard anyone tell me I had to be born again. I found that out at a youth camp and I just thought, no, today God prompted me just to remind us that not everyone knows about that. And that's what the Word of God tells us. And we're following the Word of God in this church. We're Bible-believing people here. All right, amen. So as I said, we're going to have...